AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Good to see Ellie here. I don't get to see Ellie enough. Hope you had a nice weekend. Brett is in producing for us today. Brett, did you have a nice weekend? Were you out and about? Did you do anything?
Yeah, about the last warm weekend, I'll get to bike, so did plenty of that.
Well, you can still bike and it's cool, or you just wear a sweatshirt.
Yeah, it's still a little uncomfortable, though. I mean, 60 to 70 degrees over the weekend, great.
I got out to Bass Pond. I'd not been down to this one. This is a park. It's actually connected to the Minnesota River Valley Park. There's a whole string of parks that run the Minnesota River Valley. Bass Pond is off of, 86th and over by the Mall of America. And you can go down Old Shakopee Road in 86. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Old Shakopee Road in 86. And you can go down there, and that was really nice. I hiked over to the old Cedar Avenue Bridge, which, by the way, if you ever want a reminder of why no one ever for decades ever wanted to build in Burnsville or south of the river, it's the fact that they're going to be flooded underwater for at least a month every year. And, you know, to get around to it was unbelievable that people used to travel that way, go down there on a two-lane road that was half underwater, even on the good years. And go all the way over to, and then of course the fun hills that you had to deal with there.
Well, it was that one and the old County Road 18 on the west side.
Yeah,
the Bloomington
Ferry.
Those
Bridge.
Were your only two options to cross the river outside of 35W.
Yep, the old Bloomington Ferry Bridge, which still has its the concrete things are still out there.
Yeah,
you know, yeah.
Living in the South Metro and that era would be tough.
And now you go down there and it's all been developed. I mean, you go down way down far south. I mean, you go down to Farmington direction. It's all being developed, but it is remarable. And yeah, it is cool. Anyway, got the laser down there. Were spectacular. Went to the Arboretum yesterday and it was sold out. Because they require a reservation to go in. We went in spectacular as always because that's one of the prettier leaf spots you can find. I just there's not much that gets you more in the spirit. And then we had that wind last night, and I was noticing a lot of trees lost leaves yesterday. Still some pretty ones out there, so try to get out there and enjoy it. This is what's keeping me sane. This and, well, this. Do you notice this little red sticker on my shirt? This one right here? This precious. Oh, my precious. I voted today. Now, I want to be careful here because it's Indigenous Peoples Day. It's not Columbus Day. It's not. I'll get to that in a second. It's Indigenous Peoples Day. And so it is an actual holiday. And so I was initially going to go over to my city hall, and I said, I noticed there's no cars anywhere nearby. Oh, they're closed with the holiday. And then all of a sudden I saw two people in the lobby. I said, I better go check. Indeed, they were still taking votes today. You can vote today. Depends on the situation. I know City of Minneapolis was closed. They were not voting today. But you might be able to vote today. You do the absentee ballot in person like I did. And, you know, I hope you do because we need to change a lot of things in this country. So I did get on out. I voted. Thank you very much to the volunteers working today to make people get people in. They said today even was pretty busy. But they've had some days where it's been – you know, it's busier in early voting than it is on election day. That's how not too many people are voting early. By the way, is this the reason why the Republicans have now reconsidering the bonding bill? Is that are they looking at maybe getting wiped out here in this election cycle? And they say better get something now because we're not going to be getting anything we want later.
I was trying to figure that out. Why else would Kurt Dowd, the ultimate term, back down from his stance? I think you're onto something there.
Well, I'm wondering if that might be the case because if you didn't hear, we're in the special session right now. The special session started already. We got Mary Franson is out making her speeches. Needless to say, the Republicans, first of all, Kurt Dowd dropped his demand that the Governor Walz's emergency powers end before he consider the bonding bill, which is a huge step. That's him basically saying, okay, I'm willing to talk now. And I'm starting to wonder if they know that come this election, this gets over, they're not going to have, they know that they're going to lose a lot more seats, especially in the House. And the last thing the Republicans want in the House is to get such a supermajority for Democrats that they don't need one Republican vote for the bonding bill in 2 years. So you might as well get something now. and try to get this done, because the last thing they want to do, and this, trust me, know the Republicans and know how they do politics. The last thing they want is the Democrats to take credit for fixing all this stuff. So frankly, what it is this. They've got to a point, they're in a T in the road. They can either sit there and say, we're not going to pass the bonding bill ever. Or they can pass it and say, see, we delivered. And the problem for them is if they don't do anything, I guarantee the Democrats will. And then all of a sudden you're having to go back in 2 years and say, oh, yeah, well, when the Republicans were there, we didn't get anything done, and the Democrats have now delivered. So I'm wondering if that's the case. So apparently it goes to the Ways and Means hearing. The problem is the House. You need to have 60% of the members of the House vote for a bonding bill. They are short, which I believe is about 15 Republicans total need to vote for the bonding bill to move it forward. And I think then they need about 7 votes on the final vote. To fast track it, they need 15 votes to just fast track it. And then for the final vote, I think they need 7. They need 7 votes from Republicans, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I mean, let's face it. I should not be your source for factual information. Anyway, so it goes to Ways and Means today. Final vote on Wednesday. So the special session will go for 3 days. Oh, thank God. I wasn't getting enough of Republican grandstanding speeches. So, but there you go. So that's out there right now. Vote. Go vote early. It's important. And I'm hearing rumors from people who are well enough connected to the Republican Party to where I believe some of this stuff, that the internal numbers from the Republicans are atrocious right now. And the thing which is factoring in is the algorithm, whatever it is, the numbers that they're using to determine how many votes are going Democrat versus going Republican. And because Trump vilified early voting to the point he did, that Republicans are not voting early. That the Republicans are just, they're planning on going to vote on Election Day. And the concern they have is that if they don't have enough polling places because they've had to shut down because of coronavirus, or if people get out of the car and they see a 2-hour line to vote in a place where they've never had a line before, will they stay in line and vote? And so they're starting to get some real concerns in regards to the Republicans and where they're going to be at and how this is all going to play out in the end. We'll have to see. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I will say that there is a slew of stories here. I think I'm going to go right into coronavirus update for today, because there are quite a few stories today revolving around coronavirus. It's going to take me a while to get through them all. First of all, single day high of at least 92 Minnesotans with COVID-19 admitted to the hospital on October 5th, according to this latest state health data on the pandemic. The record date in the COVID-19 pandemic contributed to one of the busiest weeks for hospitals since the spring surge of cases in late May. Total new admissions of Minnesotans with COVID-19 to hospitals in or out of state reached 457 in the 7-day period ending October 7th. That is nearing the peak of 520 admissions in the 7-day period that ended on May 22nd. Don't, as Republicans insist that, you know, open the schools or let them play football or whatever the stupid thing is. The reality is that the reason this is coming back is because there have been these conservatives that have been pushing open everything up. And this is what the outcome is. It's getting as bad as it was at the worst levels. The Minnesota Department of Health on Monday also reported another 3 COVID-19 deaths, 1,178 infections with the coronavirus. That brings the state's totals in the pandemic to 2,144 deaths, 113,439 infections confirmed through testing, including 101,000 who recovered to the point where they are no longer considered infectious. Hospital admissions numbers might be comparable. Hospital care to COVID-19 has changed substantially since May. Broader shipments of the antiviral remdesivir are now available for hospital patients. The steroid why are they giving me these words? Dexamethasone has been proven to reduce.
It's like you're reading tennis results in there.
there's the medicine that makes you feel better. They reduce left by preventing overreaction of the immune system, the virus. Age and, of course, underlying health are problems there. Also, should be mentioned, testing for COVID-19 last week in all 1,273 inmates at Stillwater Prison revealed an outbreak of 90 positive tests at the facility and is kept on lockdown to address the deadly disease, state officials reported over the weekend. The lockdown, which began on Saturday, will allow to prevent any further spread, according to an announcement on Sunday. Prisons have been just absolutely decimated by coronavirus. It's coming through, and because these for-profit prisons are not designed to actually care for prisoners, they're just basically there to pull every dime out of it. There really isn't the healthcare system in place in these prisons, nor the quarantine specifics in place in these prisons to where you can basically get away with preventing it from just taking over the prison population. The lockdown began on Saturday will allow us to prevent any further spread, according to an announcement on Sunday afternoon from the Department of Corrections. Stillwater's inmates had remained free of the coronavirus until late September. Last week, detection of the outbreak brings the facility's overall COVID-19 case tally to 115. While most among the 7% of inmates who tested positive last week are showing either mild or no symptoms, their conditions are being monitored for any worsening. One inmate who tested positive last week, a 70-year-old, has been moved out of the men's facility for medical attention at this point. All but two of the positive cases were in living units, Cell Hall D and Atlantis. The others were in B West and A East. Visits to the prison are halted during the lockdown duration. Many other DOC facilities with positive rates among inmates and staff are also barring visits in response to the global pandemic as well. So, it's interesting. Yesterday, I went to the Arboretum, like I mentioned. I went into the building real brief there. And if you've never been there, you should go. It's quite nice. But I went into the building. And it was empty. There was literally no one outside of like volunteers in there. And so made for, if you had to go to the bathroom or anything like that, it was, kind of, you could get in, get out pretty quick. No one was going to give you any grief. The problem is the gardens, particularly the gardens where it is enclosed, they're kind of the more narrow paths. It was like a normal day out there at the Arboretum, where you had people out there with photography gear, full families dressed up real nice, everyone looking real pretty. But they were kind of, as they tried to get, photographs in specific areas, they were kind of crowding. And very few people out there were wearing masks. And I had my mask around my neck because I knew, because I've been to the Arboretum, that there could be more than a few times where all of a sudden it's starting to get close quarters. And that is, I think, the key here is that we can't be dumb about this. Dumb about this is Pete Stauber, the congressman up in the 8th District. Yesterday, he posted a picture of him out campaigning with no mask on. This idiot's supposed to be in quarantine. And no, just because you tested negative once doesn't mean you're fine. You have to test negative for 14 days, and then you can go back out. Stauber is an idiot, and here he is, and he's with a bunch of other Republican idiots out there campaigning, no masks on, no nothing. And I mean, how do you stand next to Pete Stauber and not quickly grab a mask or move 6 feet away from the guy? I don't know, but, it is amazing to me how ignorant some people still are. I have a friend whose kid works at a Dairy Queen, and this weekend, their kid was getting berated because people were coming in saying, I'm not going to wear a mask. Like, chewing out some teenager at a Dairy Queen is somehow fighting them back against the Dems. I don't know. The ignorance is what is killing people. The ignorance. And, hey, you can get football back on, great. But don't start bellyaching if they have to start canceling games because there are sick teams. Or if you're in the stands, don't start bellyaching because there's Sue. I should need to go talk to her about something. No, you're not supposed to be. You're there to watch a football game, not have social hour. You're supposed to be sitting apart. Almost every time we have a pandemic, the second wave of the pandemic is worse than the first because of ignorance and stupidity almost every stinking time. And here we are. Ignorance and stupidity, that's kind of the motto of the Republican Party right now. Just be careful. Let's take Steve before we go into the break. Steve is in Minneapolis. Steve, thanks for holding. Welcome on in.
Hi, old friend.
Hey.
With this spike we're having here in Minnesota, what I would like to know is how many of those are within, say, 30 miles of a border? Because, honestly, we're surrounded by idiots. They're turning the Wisconsin State Fairgrounds into a field hospital, for crying out loud. I mean, I just wonder how much that affects us.
Well, and it's interesting because, thank you, Steve, there have been numerous maps. I've actually posted two of them, Brett. I don't know if you've seen these. These maps of the upper Midwest, and it'll show all the states where things are bad, where things are worse outbreak, and Minnesota's like the lone oasis in the entire upper Midwest. As Republicans scream about, Governor Walz is the problem, the reality is Governor Walz has kept us safer than our neighboring states, where even in Wisconsin, where you have a Democratic governor, it's the Republicans in their assembly, their Senate, and their Supreme Court who have basically made things worse in their state. And the reality is that you can't fix these people. I mean, and the crazy part is this, is you'll look at competent leadership like Governor Walz. If you're in Wisconsin, you look at it, it's like, well, they only got 1,200 cases. We only have 3,000 per day. And they just go, I don't know. I just tell you what, I'm not going to be wearing, when I go to Papa Murphy's to get my pizza, I am not going to be wearing a face mask. I can tell you that right now. I have no idea why all of a sudden a Wisconsinite sounds like a guy from Alabama. But, well, it is the Alabama of the North. Let's be honest. It is Wisconsin. It's the Alabama of the North. I don't know what you can say to these people. I mean, they still seem to think their political denomination is somehow going to keep them safe from getting sick, and or that because, well, I'm friends with with President Trump, henceforth as a governor or as a senator or as a representative, I'll get the same medications he got, and I'll be back up my feet quickly. I don't know. I don't know. All I do know is this: is that, you know, when Biden wins here in November, and vote, everyone vote. When Biden wins here in November, if you think your buddy Trump is going to be sticking around this country very long, you're a fool. He is going to be running for the hills because there's going to be plenty of lawsuits ready to file against him the second he is no longer president of the United States. And they will stick. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Some more coronavirus stories to get to a little bit later on. Also, I want to talk about the Amy Barrett hearings as well as a few other stories. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Are you ready, boy?
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Join author Thomas Maltman for the launch of his new thriller, The Land, hosted by Next Chapter Booksellers on Tuesday, October 13th. Set in northern Minnesota, The Land tells the story of a man searching for a former lover. His search will take him to a white supremacist church deep in the wilderness, where more mystery awaits. That's Thomas Maltman, hosted by Next Chapter Booksellers on Tuesday, October 13th at 7 p.m. Register now at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Do you believe in ghosts? Ever wondered if aliens from other planets visit the Earth? Have you ever thought about whether Bigfoot is real? My name is Greg Bakken, and on my new show, Ghost Box Radio, we'll have these conversations about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual, bringing together guests who are experts in these fields. Join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. for Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on AM 950, even if you're a skeptic.
Warner's Deli is celebrating its 66th anniversary with a great sale. I promise you'll save money on the appliances you choose. Get free installation on KitchenAid and Beko dishwashers and Bosch cooking pairs. Save hundreds on an LG French door refrigerator or laundry pair. Warner's Deli feels honored to be the appliance specialist of more than 350,000 Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa homeowners and contractors. Take advantage of unbeatable appliance savings and service for a limited time during Warner's Deli's 66th anniversary sale.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. So, oh, they got us, Brett. Oh, right-wing caller guy got us. Zinger! Zinger! Apparently, there are indeed less deaths in Wisconsin than there are in Minnesota. At least, once again, Wisconsin, you should know, actually, so say you have cancer, but then you die of coronavirus. They say you die of cancer. That's one of the wacky quirks of that state. They're not reporting the numbers correctly. So their numbers are probably a lot higher, but they are indeed, by the count on the worldometers, that they do have less. So, yeah, there you go. They are the 17th worst state in the nation for coronavirus, and Minnesota's 23rd, so they're a lot worse than that. But sure, here's the deal. I want you to do, right-wing troll guy. Head over to Wisconsin and go get sick, and know you might have a less chance of dying than in Minnesota. Or, better yet, that if you do die, don't worry, they won't label your death as coronavirus. They'll label it as whatever you've got, like gout or, you know, your issues with, well, never mind. But needless to say, they won't label it as coronavirus, so you can still own the libs as you're buried. Isn't that great? Zinger got us. Ooh.
Yeah, but even though there's a lot more sick people over there, and there haven't been as many deaths because they're not reporting them correctly. Ah, got ya.
There you go. I should mention as well, there is actually, this is, I do like this. Senator Chris Eaton, DFL State Senator Chris Eaton, she has not exactly been too happy with how the Senate has done things. The Brooklyn Center Democrat says the Republican-controlled Senate has not taken proper precautions to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and has filed a labor complaint in response. Eaton has not appeared in person on the Senate floor since March, participating entirely remotely to avoid contracting the virus. Eaton, 66, is a nurse and said she and her husband both have underlying health conditions that put them at higher risk for severe illness if she were to become sick. Her legislative assistant also has an underlying health condition. Her Republican colleagues infrequently wear masks at the Capitol and on the Senate floor in the Minnesota State Building where senators have offices, Eaton said. I've been trying really hard not to bring it to either one of them, Eaton said in an interview referring to her husband and legislative assistant. I'm having to do all these things, special sessions and everything remotely because Republicans won't wear masks. I've talked to them individually. I've begged. So finally, I just said, we're not going to do anything. I'm going to file a formal complaint. Eaton filed a workplace complaint over the summer with the Minnesota Occupational Safety and Health Administration to register her complaints. In her complaint, Eaton said Senate members were not wearing face mask coverings or in indoor spaces as required by Executive Order 2081 when not alone in private offices or in legislative proceedings and meetings. Governor Walz issued the executive order in July mandating use of masks statewide. State Secretary Cal Ludeman wrote to the Minnesota OSHA's office on August 27th in response to the complaint, said it lacked detailed information to help conduct an investigation, including names, dates, and times. Cal, Ludy, dude, just look at the video streams of your Senate activities. This isn't that hard. Oh, that's right. Cal's just being a jerk about this. The Senate takes a complaint from Minnesota OSHA seriously, wishes to fully cooperate in the process, Ludeman wrote. However, this complaint does not provide any meaningful details, making investigation of the alleged hazard unfeasible. Oh, I don't know. Is there video? Like, can we go to YouTube and see if they actually got the Senate procedures? Oh, the uptake. They had this. They had all that stuff. I'm sure we can find video for you, Cal. Eaton says she avoided giving names and making the issue overtly political, but pointed to various instances seen during flow sessions and committee hearings where GOP lawmakers infrequently wear masks or do not maintain social distancing. My God, Gazelka. How many times have we got pictures of Gazelka not wearing a mask? Dear Lord. Ludeman, dude, you're fishing without a pole at this point. A call to Ludeman, the Ludy. Seeking comment was not returned, nor was a request for comment from spokesman of the Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka. In September 28th, a memo of the Senate staff members outlining COVID-19 safety measures expectations, Ludeman issued a reminder that people feeling unwell should stay home. Well, how about wearing masks, dude? You know, if elementary school kids are doing a better job than you are, then, you know, that should tell you something there, Republican-led Senate. 952-946-6205. Ooh, I should mention, do we have any fired commissioners as of this right now? Once again, we're in the special session. I'm wondering if this got held off too. This actually might be a masterstroke from the Speaker of the House, Hortman, because with the bonding bill out there, they can't really do their drive-by commissioner firings in the Senate and then still wait around to see if the bonding bill passes on Wednesday. So maybe, just maybe, this bonding bill issue in the House has basically prevented the Senate Republicans from, as Kurt Dowd described, executing Governor Walz's commissioners. Oh, but here's here. Two staffers for Tom Emmer's campaign contracted COVID-19. Emmer has not seen either of the infected staffers for several weeks before that, and their diagnoses were not linked to Trump's visit. So, but hey, apples, oranges. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. I got to talk a little bit about this Senate hearing and the Supreme Court seat. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Finding the right lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know even where to start. Don't just run an internet search for an attorney. Start with the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service, an enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They'll connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
Hi, this is Laura. Listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Our individual health is connected to the health of each other, and connected to the health of the earth. We know the problems with the dominant food system, climate change, deadening soils, nitrates in the water, factory farming, injustice, concentration of wealth. How do we both as individuals and as a community step up and support a living food system which honors the earth? Tune to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. and remember to support your independent farmers.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil. Today, with the uncertainty going on, we're all looking to find a way to make our dollar go further. That's why I suggest your next vehicle is a Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota. Not only do I have a newer Toyota, I also have a 2006 Sienna, and it still runs great. 14 years and 170,000 miles later. I love Toyotas, and they're made to last, and they have never let me down. And with maintenance from Rudy Luther, your vehicle will take care of you and save even more money with the Luther Advantage card with your vehicle purchase. Rudy Luther Toyota at 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the Reuse Warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in Better Futures Minnesota.com.
Indeed, Cafe Latte, one of our favorite places. And once again, a reminder with the Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, get some food for right now. Maybe buy a meal for a friend. We'll be your friend. But buy a meal for a friend. Buy some lunch for the next day. Get the gift card. Get the T-shirt. Help these restaurants out if you can. Please do. It's very important. A lot of them are having a very hard time. And once again, if you didn't catch the story from the Star Tribune earlier this week, this weekend, the restaurants, the feeling is that it's going to be a very tough winter. So, you know, be careful out there and help out if you can. It's tough times. And until we can get the ignorance dealt with, I don't know how much luck we're going to have dealing with the pandemic, that's for sure. 952-946-6205. By the way, I wanted to mention, we should talk a little bit about why, you know, it's I have a few conservative friends who are quick to say, Happy Columbus Day! Take that, Native American people! Well, first of all, and this is, can I just, once again, what are you celebrating? He wasn't here first. The Native Americans were here first. He wasn't even close to being the first European here. He wasn't. We actually have factual proof of that. He wasn't. Yet here you guys are. But your hero, Christopher Columbus, once again, he kidnapped a Carib woman and gave her to a crew member to rape. Dear Lord, this is their hero. And once again, we talked about this when the Columbus statue came down over at the state capitol. Yes, vandalism is bad, but why the hell has Christopher Columbus got a statue up there if it's not for about white power over minorities? Come on. On Hispaniola, the member of Columbus's crew publicly cut off the natives' ears to shock others into submission. Columbus kidnapped and enslaved more than 1,000 people on Hispaniola. Columbus forced Indians to collect gold for him or else die. About 50,000 Indians committed mass suicide rather than comply with the Spanish. 56 years after Columbus's first voyage, only 500 out of 300,000 Indians remained on Hispaniola. Columbus was also horrible to the Spanish, who were under his rule as well. Columbus sold 9 and 10-year-old girls into sexual slavery. Christopher Columbus sold 9 and 10-year-old native girls into sex slavery. What are you going to have, Jeffrey Epstein Day next? Come on. The Indian slaves were beheaded when their Spanish captors couldn't be bothered to untie them. It's Indigenous People Day. Columbus, I mean, let me get this right. You're what are you celebrating here? He wasn't the first person here. He wasn't the first European to this continent. And he sold 9 and 10-year-old girls into sex slavery. I'll let you get back to celebrating. I don't know what you're celebrating there. It's real creepy. That's what you're celebrating. Real creepy. There is a narrative in the media, how media covers politics and religion, that we need to stop. And it's whether it's the Star Tribune, whether it's the national news people, we need to stop this. And the mentality is that Republicans are the Christian ones. And it is. This is the narrative that is pushed. Only because of abortion. And that the Democrats, who can basically be fighting for every other teaching of Jesus. Well, Jesus never condemned abortion. He didn't. Just FYI, he didn't. He absolutely did not. But because... You know, you say to yourself, the Democrats are out there trying to feed people, trying to give health care to the sick, shelter the needy, welcome in strangers from strange lands. They're somehow anti-Christianity. I get tired of it because it creates this false narrative that the Christians and the Republicans are teaming up against the liberals. No, it's not true. I am Catholic. And I'm about to say, once again, disclaimer, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Catholic, okay? But I want to be very clear here about the Supreme Court nominee Trump has put forward here in regards to this idea that she is somehow a Catholic, or that, or Democrats, they have to work really hard to you know, appeal to the Catholics because, you know, abortion. Amy Barrett, and I have no problem. I don't pull my punches. She's not Catholic. She's Republican Christian. And there's a difference there, because this is a woman who has very vocally talked about how the federal government should not give any medical care to people. That is one of the things she is 100%, she does not believe in that. She has vowed to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. We will not have medical care for most people, and we are going to return to a time, thanks to Amy Barrett, of a not only a pre-existing conditions, but hundreds of thousands of people dying a year of treatable diseases that are unattainable, that the cures are unattainable for because they're out of pocket. That's what we're looking at. And if you say to yourself, well, Matt, it's just, that's politics. Well, no. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it. Isn't it great she wears her religion on her sleeve? But then when her religion calls her out because her personal feelings don't match up with the Bible, then all of a sudden it is, why are you trying to make everything about religion? No, you need to be the consistent one. You love the fact that she uses her religion. And the reality is that the reason why you're complaining is the fact that it's, I'm right. And the reality is the Republicans don't want health care for everyone. They're getting paid a lot of money by the medical industries to basically make sure this goes away so that they can charge an arm and a leg, God forbid, if you need an arm and a leg. I love religious people that are Republican, because if they ever come across a passage in the Bible that backs up their political point of view, they're the first to say, look right here, read it. It says it. You got to follow this. It's verbatim. But then all of a sudden you come across something in the Bible which goes completely and totally against what they believe politically. And the first thing out of their mouth is, well, let me tell you what that's supposed to mean. Let me tell you how you're supposed to interpret what that means, because you're not supposed to take that one literally. You're supposed to take the other ones literally, but not that one, because that one makes me look bad. The Democrats are the party of Christianity. They are. Not because necessarily they're a Christian-based political party. No, they're not. But the things that the Democratic Party do align perfectly with the Christian faith. Feeding the hungry? Check. Jesus gave food. How many stories in the Bible are there about Jesus? And once again, this is about Jesus. Jesus is the character that makes Christians Christian. If not for Jesus, they'd still be Jews. But the Jesus is God on earth. That is, henceforth, he died for our sins. That is the story. How many times did he feed people? How many Republicans have passed laws cutting food aid, creating shame hoops for the hungry to have to jump through, making the hungry grovel to them and thank them for their benevolence before they'll give them a cup of flour? Please. That's not Christian. And there's no way on the planet that anyone who is Christian would think what Republicans do with the hungry is Christian. Sheltering the homeless. Please. When was the last time you saw a Republican put forward a bill to help homeless people get off the streets? Here we go. Here's $20 million. Let's build some shelters and let's... Nope, they don't do that. They do not do that. Democrats, on the other hand, they've been trying to tackle not only the scourge of homelessness, but the scourge of the mental disease, which leads to a lot of people being homeless and on the streets. They're trying to help these people. That's the Christian way of doing it. And once again, the Democrats are not doing it because they're Christians. They're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And it just, so once again, matches up to Christian faith. So there's two strikes against these Republicans. Amy Barrett has been a very vocal opponent that she does not believe the government should be supplying health care to the needy. If you are truly Christian, if you are a true Christian, you might say to yourself, I would prefer the private sector deliver it. But what happens when the private sector can't? Which was the problem we had when the Affordable Care Act was needed. The private sector wasn't helping people. Charitable groups did not have enough money to help people out. People were dying of curable diseases or being denied medical care, even after they paid for medical care, because of pre-existing conditions. In that case, then a good Christian would say, well, if the federal government has to step in here to take care of the people, so be it. I might not agree with it politically, but the reality is that is a base teaching of Christianity, a base teaching of Jesus Christ. Henceforth, boom, get the federal government in doing that. Does anyone call out Amy Barrett for her lack of wanting to take care of the sick? How many Jesus stories are there where Jesus basically tells us to take care of the sick? And of course, taking care of, welcoming in strangers from strange lands. Yet, what do the Republicans do? Put them in cages, rip babies from parents' arms, put the baby in a cage. Sexual assault, forced hysterectomies. It's a house of horrors down there on the border in these concentration camps that the Republicans applaud. Yay! Yay! None of it. None of that is Christian. Nope. Not even close. Not even close. Even the dumbest guy in theology class would know that's not Christian. And yet here we are. Here we are. And the media describes, well, these Democrats have got to fight these Christian Republicans. No, they're not. The media has been browbeaten into accepting the idea that Republican means Christian, and the reality is Republican does not mean Christian. Most Catholics I know vote Democrat. And he said, well, Matt, what about abortion? Well, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'm personally against abortion. So there will not be an abortion happening in my uterus. Brett, did you get that?
Got that saved, yep.
Yeah, no, my uterus, no abortion. Now, I can only speak for myself because I'm a guy and I'm me. Yep, that's me. Did you feel that at all, Brett? No. When I smack my hand? All right, that's just me then. Yeah. Ow, by the way. So, you make your own choices. Why? Because we're all evaluated by our actions here on Earth, right? That's the way I've been taught it. And plus the fact that there's a real inconsistency when it comes to abortion. I mean, my gosh, there's actual passages where they talk about killing kids by dashing them against stones, for goodness sakes. Noah, for God's sake, how many pregnant women did he kill with that flood? Dear Lord, you don't think that there were pregnant women on the planet at that point? My gosh! Now, the Christian Party is the Democratic Party. Not because the Democratic Party wants to be Christian, but because the Democratic Party's platform is Christian. And outside of hating gay people and force, and by the way, let me make sure I take another quick moment here. It's not like these people are even committed to their stances. I put out the story this week in stem cell research was used to get this cure that Trump got. You know, stem cell research, immoral, bad, we shouldn't be doing it. Well, lo and behold, Trump got medications that derive from stem cell research. Ta-da! Not one Catholic, not one Christian who's a Republican, not one of them is out there saying, how dare he betray us like that? Nope. And I guarantee you, when Amy Barrett gets rid of the Roe v. Wade, there are going to be some states. Once again, that just refers it back to the states. Some states will become no abortion outside of wealthy people. Of course, you think a wealthy donor to the Republican Party is going to have to haul their kid to Canada? Oh, please. They'll go on down to the Galleria Mall in their community, and there'll be a specialty clinic right there. offering anti-babyoscopies. Well, that's not an abortion. That's an anti-babyoscopy. These people, they're not even committed to their own outrage. Because if they were, wouldn't they be a little bit louder? You have to look at the facts. Feeding the hungry, taking care of the sick, sheltering the homeless, welcoming in strangers from strange lands. These are teachings that have been told over and over and over and over and over again in the Bible. And yet, Republicans don't put them forward. But who is considered to be the Christian, the good Christians? And the media, I'm sorry, you guys just do this. You do this for them. You naturally, well, because God forbid you're an actual journalist and you say, well, you know, what about the rest of these things in the Bible? Aren't you guys supposed to be doing those? And when they scream, oh, well, that's politics. We're not supposed to talk about that. We're supposed to have a separation. You allow that to be an excuse, but you never allow that to be an excuse for the Democrats. Amy Barrett's not a Catholic, as I know Catholicism. She's a Republican Christian, which basically only comes back to Christianity when it backs up the political points of view that she has or goes for the opportunism of the anti-abortion crowd because they'll show up in droves. So, you know, if people say it's like, oh, well, the Catholics are like, no. This, if you actually go look at the biblical teaching, if you go to churches that actually talk about the Bible completely, there's a lot more condemnation of Republican policies than the Democratic policies. Absolutely. And no, there isn't one sin to rule them all. It's not the Hobbit. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I might have time to get to a call or two before we get into some music. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Warner Stelling is celebrating its 66th anniversary with a great sale. You'll save money on the appliances you choose. Get free installation on KitchenAid and Beko dishwashers and save hundreds on kitchen suites and laundry pairs. Warner Stelling's 66th anniversary sale.
Vacuum cleaner. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. Many listeners know that I train on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on equity and dismantling racism. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change how they see the world. And now I'm doing all of my work online so everyone can attend regardless of where you're located. For more information, go to elliekrug.com. Thank you. I look forward to hearing from you.
Auto Technical helps families in need of transportation with reconditioned vehicles. Here's Richard with Auto Technical.
I tell you, my wife told me when we first started, she says, you're going to find this so rewarding. But when people come in and, oh man, give me a second.
Take your time.
And you just find out how important transportation is. People sometimes break down in tears and can't stop.
Learn more at autotechnical.org.
Oh, please. My Bible doesn't have anything about feeding the hungry. And Lazarus, what are you talking about? He was a goner. 952-946-6205. Dig, Lazarus, dig. Julie is in Minneapolis. She's been holding the longest. Let's get her in. Welcome in, Julie.
Hi. Quick comment about Barrett and then Affordable Care. You know, I was listening to Republican Stass just before the hearings, and he says, you know, the Constitution does not have a religious test for office. And he was referring to Barrett, of course. And I realized, yeah, but the Federalist Society has never put forth someone who was a Jew, a Muslim, or a Protestant. So, that seems a little bit suspicious to me. And one question I wanted to ask you, I worried about, I know a woman, okay, she's on chemotherapy, mm-hmm. She's under the Affordable Care Act. You know, if in November they overturn it, does that end her chemo? Because she doesn't have anything else. She's not married, under her husband's insurance.
We're going to go back to the days, Julie. Thanks, Julie. I appreciate the phone call. We'll go back to the days of them walking with a clipboard. Do you have a credit card? No. Unplug. That's Republican healthcare for you, or Republican Christian healthcare for you. No, once again, you know, they just gave Trump medication that was tested on stem cells. Remember stem cells? Republicans are supposed to, oh, how dare you? How dare you? Well, you don't mind it when it helps your guy, does it? So this is your morality. I'm comfortable with what I do. I'm just pointing out your massive levels of hypocrisy, your massive levels of inconsistency. Pat is in Hopkins. Going to be the final call today. Welcome in, Pat.
Yes.
Hey.
Hi, how you doing? I'll be quick. I just wanted to say, yeah, right, the Republicans are the pro-life party until the baby's born. And then let's work on cutting aid women, infant and children, SNAP. And a whole bunch of other stuff they've been working on for the last 40 years. And then one other thing about Jesus. I jokingly say to my conservative Christian friends, we don't want Jesus to come to America because you guys would re-crucify him the second he opens his mouth to say, feed the hungry, feed the poor.
Welcome in, strangers from strange lands. Thanks, Pat. No, you can't just sit back and look at, like I said, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of watching my religious faith. The reason why numbers are going down in Christian churches is not because liberals are pulling people out of the church. It's that the conservatives are firmly putting the hand in the back of people and pushing them out the door. They're not going to get rid of abortion, not for the wealthy. For the poor, sure. But for the wealthy, never. Stem cell research will still be illegal and used often as long as it's deriving medicine for the wealthy donors of the Republican Party. No, this is it is a very sad world that we're living in, and nothing has made me sadder than watching my religion, my faith, be absolutely ripped to shreds for political opportunism. And the goodness that my faith represents is discarded and thrown away because those parts don't get feeding the hungry. Come on, man. That's my taxpayer dollars. All right. Shall we try to dance out of here today? Yvonne Elliman, this is a Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, isn't it? There you go.
Indeed.
Indeed. If I can't have you, you have a good one. We are going to be back for another humdinger of a show tomorrow. Until then, see ya.